from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hawkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good.
Good to hear. Can I ask you this? Are you a DirecTV subscriber?
No.
You're not. So good news. Where are you? Xfinity? Yeah. Where do you? Where's your allegiance lie?
Here's the weird thing. I'm Comcast, but I couldn't get when I turned on the screen last night to watch my Comcast, it said I can't get it. Is the Comcast also having a dispute? It was confusing to me.
I don't know.
Does Comcast satisfied?
Comcast doesn't fall under the DirecTV.
But I'm literally, my screen said you can't get this. It's because of a dispute, but I'm definitely not DirecTV. I'm confused, but no, I am not DirecTV. And it does strike me that the world was supposed to be made better by technology. You know, everything better, everything easier, everything simpler, better living through better technology. And instead, we're paying huge amounts of money, and it feels like we're constantly held hostage in these ridiculous, you know, TV wars. So I take it you are DirecTV?
No, I am not DirecTV. I'm Xfinity, so I'm good. I've steered clear.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty expensive, so I don't know where we're headed.
It was a hell of a game to miss on Saturday. That's when people sort of realized it, I think,
right.
was the USC game. And you're like, someone was texting me and saying, do you know why it's out? And I said, you're missing a hell of a game. Like, it was a hell of a game. So I feel bad for those folks.
So you missed last night's game?
I did.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a decent one to miss, I guess.
I guess so. I got the idea.
All right. Now, we talked about it last week. John Martin wrote a column for the Daily Memphian about how Georgia Tech did no favors to the University of Memphis with this matchup against Florida State. And we said, we're going to hold off. We'll see what they look like against Boston College. Well, they looked even worse against Boston College, 28-13. And then at the end of the game, like, you know how embarrassing it is? And we did this to Cincinnati, I think, in 2014. Where we had like an 11-minute drive and then kneed on the ball. We didn't even go to score. That's what Boston College did to Florida State. Ran it down 6 minutes, 4 seconds, kneed the ball when they could have scored at the end of the game. That game now, I will agree with John, that game doesn't mean near what it meant. This is not a free shot in the slightest. You're not getting any points from the committee because of this game or playing close or even winning this game. This Florida State team, just truthfully, looks like a below-average college football team, certainly below average in the ACC.
Yeah, and that's too bad. And there's there's nothing else to say other than it's too bad. This is not what anyone wanted, and it takes a lot of the steam out of the game. There is absolutely no question. Having said that, just because I'll play devil's advocate
here,
again, I'm not going to argue that it's anything but bad. But I don't think Florida State's two losses and the fact that Florida State is going to be mediocre, I will wager that at the end of the season, that will not be what decides whether Memphis is or isn't in the playoffs.
Right.
Right. It will really probably be. I mean, let's even stipulate that I'm going to tell you that Memphis is going to go to Florida State and lose by 6.
Okay.
But they're going to win every other game.
That's great.
Will they be in the playoffs?
Yes. Yes,
yeah,
but if you lose that game close, it's just about the wiggle room, right? If you beat that team, you feel a little bit better. You can still lose a game and feel comfortable about where you're at, but you lose wiggle room if you lose that game.
Well, and it all depends, obviously. You know, it depends. So much of this, it's not just what you do, it's what you know, it's what Boise does. It's what other schools do. And now, you know, presumably they're going to have better competition. If they beat that competition, because it's going to look better than Florida State, well, that'll put you at a disadvantage. I still think, in the end, if Memphis runs the table, whether that includes or does not include Florida State, they'll likely be in the playoff. I think the bigger challenge is running the table.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I thought Memphis looked fine, and I had a good time Saturday night, and I thought it was a great scene, and I have lots of complimentary things to say. I didn't honestly think it was like a performance by the Tigers that made you think. And again, it's just one game, but that's all we have to analyze. It's not a performance that made you think that's a team that's just going to lay waste to everybody this year.
No.
That's not what I came away thinking. I came away thinking they're having a hard time running the ball against North Alabama.
Yeah.
And they just lost who they deemed to be their best running back, because he's the guy who started. And so so it didn't, again, obviously it's a nice win. They did a lot of good things, forced three turnovers, Seth was efficient, all of that. But I didn't come away thinking, now I see this is the best team I've ever seen at the University of Memphis. I didn't feel like that. Again, it's just one game.
Yeah, 9 points in the second half against North Alabama, no good. And then, what was it, 26 rushes, 64 yards for a 2.5 yard per carry average. Not good at all. Like, if you want to beat that Florida State team in 2 weeks, the way you do it is by exposing them on the ground, because they have not been very tough. They gave up, what, 263 right. yards to Boston College last night, running the ball. Like, that's the way to go expose them, clearly.
It's what Georgia Tech did, and it's what Boston College did. The front seven at Florida State was supposed to be terrific. It has not proven to be. But it's not just Florida State. If you can't run the ball, you know, it's going to cause you problems
sure.
all year long. Ryan, obviously, he was asked about it after the game. He said, you know me. He said, I'll always be most critical of the offensive line. Well, there was reason to be critical of the offensive line. You know, on a night when we were all focused on the Liberty Hole, there weren't enough holes elsewhere.
Yes.
And I think that was a problem.
Yeah, nice. Impressive stuff right there. Nice zinger.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask it this way about just week one of college football in general. Was there anything out there that was like overly surprising? Any final score that just jumped out as this is – that surprises the hell out of me. I expected more out of that team. Or on the other end, oh damn, that team's real.
I thought it was a great week.
Sure.
Like, we've waited so long for it, and from Thursday through last night, I thought it was interesting. You know, there were some compelling games, there were some great games. Obviously there's a lot of blowouts. Like, look at Tennessee, look at Ole Miss, look at Arkansas, look at Mississippi State, just to take a few. But I thought there was a lot that was certainly interesting, if not really super surprising. I think Vanderbilt beating Virginia Tech was damn surprising.
Yes.
So that was one I'd say that was surprising. I think there are four schools that really, obviously the most impressive performance was Georgia. They just disemboweled Clemson, right? A Clemson team that we thought, well, Clemson will be back this year. And they just, so just put Georgia aside for a minute. I think the teams that really, you know, raised their hand and said, this might be the year when we are, you know, you have to take it seriously. I think that's USC. I think it's Notre Dame. I think it's Penn State. And I think it's Miami.
Yep.
All four of those. Like, for various reasons over the last few years, you've wondered about them all, right? Notre Dame keeps losing games that they should win. USC is soft, for heaven's sakes, right? Penn State, can't throw the ball down the field. They got a quarterback who's got a big arm, but he can't throw the field down the field. Miami, they always seem to have talent, but, you know, can't ever put it together. They got a coach who's a better recruiter than he is a coach. And yet all four of them, I thought, really, for different reasons, impressive wins. Not as impressive as necessarily as Georgia beating Clemson, although Florida, what Miami did to Florida was very impressive.
Yes.
But just in terms of, here are some teams that we might have wondered about for one reason or another, and I think they answered the bell. And I also think they suggested to all of us that this 12-team playoff could be a lot of fun. Like any of those teams, you know, ranked 6 or 8 or wherever they're going to be in the 12-team playoff, I think raises really tantalizing possibilities. So I thought it was a super interesting week, you know, really from beginning to end.
Yeah, now I will say the biggest – I was surprised that Miami was able to beat the brakes off of Florida the way they did. Sure, I was a little surprised that Georgia hammered Clemson the way they did. The biggest surprise for me, though, USC's defense, I mean, yeah. Damn. That is a 180 of what Lincoln Riley has ever had on the defensive side of the ball. Really limited LSU what they could do running the ball. Did a really good job in the second half of trying to close off lanes. Didn't let LSU, kill them through the air. Even though I think Garrett Nussmeier is a really good quarterback. If USC can play that type of defense going forward under Lincoln Riley, all this hot seat or could be on the hot seat conversation, I think will alleviate really quickly.
There's no question. First, he found another quarterback, and he looked terrific. But then the defense was fabulous. And the truth of the matter is, in the second half, they kept getting the ball back. You know, they kept getting the ball back, and LSU had their chances, but they kept forcing punts, and they gave Moss a chance, and then he came through in the end, and even at the end when they forced the field goal as opposed to whatever. Yep. I thought it was a super impressive from a defense and a team that has sort of been derided as not serious. You know what they looked like? They looked like a Big Ten team.
Yeah,
that's what they looked like. You know the way that they played. They didn't make the mistakes. It was LSU that made the mistakes. Physical. Really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michigan versus Fresno State, that was a little closer. I was surprised to see that Alex Orji, who was supposed to be the starter, and still, last name's absolutely insane, but Davis Warren, a former walk-on, is the starter there. That Michigan team, I know that we have been predicting this for a while. It feels like they're going to fall off this year pretty substantially after winning a natty, but that's sort of what we expected for the most part, right?
Yeah, flags fly forever. I think the question for Michigan, we've all expected a step back. I think the question for Michigan will be, will they then reload? You know, take the year off. You're hungover. Go sleep off the hangover. And then what is Michigan going to be going forward after this? I think that's the question.
Yeah. Now, also, I have to... I praise Dan Lanning, so I do have to come back and say that was not a good performance. Struggle win against Idaho, 24-14. I still am trying to wrap my head around the fact that Dylan Gabriel, I'm going to read this stat line. Let me get to it real quick. 41 for 49, 380 yards, 2 TDs, no interceptions, and they only win by 10 at home over Idaho. If I would have told you those were his stat, that was going to be a stat line, you would have thought they'd won by 50.
Absolutely, I would have thought they'd won by 50. How didn't they? I mean, I confess, I didn't see a minute of it.
I saw a little bit of it. They just struggled as they got down into the sort of red area. They just struggled really badly once they got chances to go score touchdowns instead of field goals, that type of thing. That's what happened. There's no real excuse for that, though, week one. Dan Lanning was not happy, though, after the game. I saw his post-game comments. He was not thrilled with his team performance.
Well, at least he wasn't apologizing like Mike Norvell. You know, I mean, Mike Norvell was having to apologize. Mike Norvell, it is kind of amazing how quickly it can turn. Mike Norvell got a 8-year extension for more than $10 million, right? Like someone was joking. I wonder if Mike Norvell is going to have to be on the plane back to Memphis. Mike Norvell doesn't have to be on any plane back to Memphis. He just got an extension, 8 years, $10 million. And, now they're ready. Pretty soon they're going to be ready to bring Deion back. It's just unbelievable, college football. You see all these stories now questioning, maybe he's really much more like the coach who struggled in his first 2 years than the coach who has done,
A little much.
I mean, it is obviously true. You know, it's a version of what we just saw from Penny Hardaway. When you go to the portal like this, when you're building teams on the fly, there can be years, and I'm not saying who knows what's going to happen with this Florida State team, but there can be years where it's just like, we got this one wrong. You know, you're putting assembled It's like one of these cooking chef cooking shows where you have to cook the meal in an hour.
Right? Yeah, right.
And you imagine, like, if halfway through, like, oh, this isn't my day. You know, like, I got the wrong ingredients here. I can't do anything with this. If you wonder, that's a little bit what can happen in the era of the portal.
But it is kind of wild, though. They did have a lot of confidence with what they had out of the portal and the team that they had going to Ireland. I mean, there was nothing but positive reports coming from Mike and from that staff.
Nothing but positive reports.
And it makes me question, did they just sort of think too highly of this team? Or is this team just laying an egg under the lights? Like, I don't know how to read that. Or is it just the fans that put out all that propaganda? I know that's not fully the case, because I heard Mike. I had Mike on the show this offseason. He was talking about this O-line and this D-line, how they were going to run the day.
Yeah. Jeffrey's theory is that, and he sort of called this game. He didn't call BC winning, but he said it's really tough to come back from Ireland, you know, and I can see that. Like, there was a little bit of a hangover last night. BC, first game under a new coach, whatever. But there's no excuses. There's no excuses for laying the egg that they have two straight weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I think it's weird to so badly misjudge an offensive and defensive line.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that a little odd? Shouldn't you be able to, isn't that something you should actually be able to tell in practice whether you got the horses up front?
Yep.
I think it's a little strange that they have misjudged it so badly.
Yeah, and did you 3-2-1 Noel, the guy who promised to eat dog ass out of a Red Solo Cup, did he misjudge how viral this was going to go? I think he pretty well misjudged that.
I think he pretty well misjudged this.
Have you called for him to make right on his promise?
I don't particularly need someone to eat dog poop, but
I won't watch it. But I, you know, don't promise things that you're not going to deliver on.
You can't deliver. No, you should. It is a lesson for people out there, right? You have to. Yeah, I mean, the only time I've done anything like that was when I said, if the Grizzlies, this was way many years ago, if the Grizzlies open a season by losing whatever it was, 14 in a row, the previous year it had been 13, I said I'd play Christmas carols in front of, back then it was the Pyramid.
That's a far cry from eating dog ass out of a Red Solo Cup.
It is very different. It is very different. But I was calculating, you know. I thought to myself, well, I could say I'll eat dog poop out of a cup, or I could say I'll play Christmas carols. And I went for the Christmas carols, you know. So I was much more calculating in my promise.
Hey, you know, final quick thing I do want to bring up, and this is not going to be about the dog ass, but the group of five representative for the college football playoff, I don't think any of the sort of three-horse race we've been talking about played particularly well. Did they?
No.
Campbell
no.
versus Liberty. Liberty wins 41-24. Boise State, Ashton Jeanty was phenomenal, but they gave up 45 points to Georgia Southern. Memphis didn't look that great running the ball.
UNLV looked good.
UNLV's the one team that I look at. I said that off the top of the show. That's a team you need to add to the mix here, even after losing their all-conference starting quarterback to USC.
Yep. That's the team. Okay, I have a question for you. So, as I was leaving the press box, walking down to the interview section, I think there was probably a slightly smaller crowd than they imagined, because when there were some like 18, 19, 20-year-olds who were working at the Corky stand, and they were leaning over the counter saying, here, free sandwiches, take a sandwich, okay? So, because they just had an abundance of sandwiches, the night was over, what were they going to do with all these sandwiches? So good for them, they were giving them away. I walk up, because I'm not going to turn down a free sandwich. And they tried to give me six barbecue sandwiches, all nicely wrapped up and warm and whatever else. Here's my question. How many would you have stopped and taken any? Would you have taken all six? What would you have done? At 11 o'clock at night, or whatever it was, 10 o'clock at night, six nicely warm barbecue sandwiches?
I am not. I don't want to go overboard. I'd take two. I'd take one for me, one for my wife, and then call it a day. And if she didn't want it, I'd probably eat it. That's what I'd do. Six is ridiculous. Because if you give me six, they're going to go to waste anyway, but they're definitely going to go to waste if you give me six sandwiches. There's no doubt about it.
It's funny. I took two, and my wife is away, so I took two.
For you.
and I ate one that night, and then I ate one for breakfast.
Okay. That sounds like that's a good plan. Well done.
I thought it was a good plan. Now, next time...
Sounds like exactly what I would do.
Next time, I wish I, when I walk by Uncle Lou's, I hope they're offering me, like, you know, three-piece combos or something. Like, maybe this will...
Did you have a backpack with you? Did you have do you have anything to hold them in?
I have a backpack.
See, you could have you could have taken off. Know what you could have done if you really were great, if you wanted to be great after the game. You take about as many as they'll give you and you go hand them out to people walking the street. That's what you would do.
I guess, but like I don't think everyone would take a sandwich from a stranger, you know? I mean, as if you feel a little shaky taking it from, at least when the Corky's people are giving it out, you're like, okay, well, it's coming from the Corky stand. It's probably legit. If a man walks up with you in a backpack and offers you, let's be honest, if an older gentleman, this is like some weird version of the, you know, the Halloween.
Hey, but Jeff, you have like a recognizable face. I know that's Jeff Calkins. They would trust Jeff Calkins. They would know where to find you, Jeff.
Right.
If you had done anything to those sandwiches that was questionable, they'd be able to find you.
I thought you were going to say I should have like loaded up the backpack and just brought them down. And you know, we see the football team afterwards. Just give them to Seth to take back to distribute in the locker room.
They get Uncle Lou's. I don't know if you know that, right?
Is that what they get? Yeah. Uncle Lou's?
Well, actually, I don't know if they still do. I'd imagine they do. That's what we got every game.
You got Uncle Lou's?
Yes, it was great. I always look forward to it.
Let me ask you this. If you're eating Uncle Lou's and someone also comes up and I offer you, and you've just played a game of football, wouldn't you take a hors d'oeuvre of a barbecue sandwich on the side?
Make it my appetizer? Nice pork shoulder sandwich?
Exactly, yeah.
Sure, why not?
Work on your Uncle Lou's.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, you know, anyway, I'd have to do a lot more working out to burn that off these days.
Just that's what I did. I had one at night and one in the morning. It was delicious.
I think you played it well. Well, Jeff, you also played this segment well. We'll talk again coming up Thursday.
See you again.
Yes, sir. That's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist. Also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, you've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have something a little bit different for you. Now, through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. All you DirecTV customers, make sure you listen in closely. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's GABEK. Again, GABEK to download America's number one sports book. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after your free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes do apply. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. You know what has returned to the Gabe Kuhn Show now that we're approaching week one of the NFL season? That would be a trip around the National Football League, a trip around the NFL. So you know what's next? Just that, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
How about it? Another NFL season, so that means we're going to get to our first edition of a trip around the NFL. Connor, what we got first?
The San Francisco 49ers.
So, on August 31st, on Saturday, at 3:37 p.m. Pacific time, San Francisco police officers responded to the area of Gary Street and Grant Avenue on a report of a shooting. Upon arrival, officers located two male subjects suffering from apparent gunshot wounds. One of them was the 31st pick in the 2024 NFL draft, Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver out of Florida. He was shot directly through the chest. Now, he was in critical condition for a while. He's completely out of it. Now he was in, I believe yesterday, he was spotted in the weight room at the 49ers facility. Absolutely nuts. Tough, tough guy. But they avoided all internal organs. But he was apparently the victim of an armed robbery at 3:37 p.m. in the heart of downtown San Francisco. Shot directly through the chest by a 17-year-old from Tracy, California, trying to earn his stripes in a gang. That's what happened. Absolutely insane. I'm so happy Ricky Pearsall is okay, and that 17-year-old needs to be locked up. It's that simple. I mean, I am amazed something like this happened, but this happening, weirdly enough, it apparently led to some more good news for
the San Francisco 49ers.
Trent Williams, all pro left tackle, 36 years old, said that the reason he came back to the table and stopped his holdout is because partly Ricky Pearsall had sort of brought him back to the table. He said he'd never seen anything like that in his NFL career, and it made him feel closer to his teammates, and they all sort of rallied around him. But he ends up getting the deal that he wanted. He's guaranteed the next 2 years that Trent Williams is going to be on contract for the 49ers, equating to $48 million in guaranteed money, an additional $7.6 million in salary this season. He has 3 years remaining on his contract. He'll make $27.65 million in cash this season. So their left tackle, who I think is the most important thing that they needed to get done this offseason. Yeah, Brandon Ayuk was important, but Trent Williams, without him, that offensive line is not very good. He gets signed back, and the 49ers are going to try to avenge themselves from their Super Bowl loss last season.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I had that one on there. I didn't have the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, yeah, I did have the Philadelphia Eagles. What am I talking about? What was I going to say about the Philadelphia Eagles?
You sent me this list, brother.
Who knew? Who knew? I think I put the wrong one down, so just move down that list.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
That was a mess up on my behalf. Connor, you are completely rid of all evil there. But Cameron Hayward, who is getting up there in age, came out of Ohio State, 12, 13, 14 years ago, signed a 3-year extension with the Steelers. So it looks like 3 years, $45 million, $15 million to sign, $16 million fully guaranteed, $29 million in new money. Now, I didn't know if he was going to retire. He's definitely taken a few steps back the past few years. But my gosh, Cam Hayward got his last little bag, just like Trent Williams. I think they're both in that same type of category at this point in their career. They're getting closer to retirement. They had to get their last little contract, that nice extension, that good guaranteed money before they move off into the sunset. But I think this is a good thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers need to keep that guy in there. He's been one of the best interior defenders in the entire NFL since he came into the NFL a long while ago. Shout out to the Steelers for getting it done. And shout out to Cam Hayward for lasting this long in the NFL and still being at the advanced stages of his career, getting $15 million per year.
The Houston Texans.
All right, I need you to chime in a little bit here, Connor. I need you to chime in just a tad bit because I am very curious your thoughts on this in particular. Stephon Diggs, newly acquired wide receiver for the Houston Texans. He was voted team captain after last year and the last few years with the Bills being kind of a nuisance. They had to get rid of him because he was being a problem in the locker room. Him and Josh Allen, that whole thing had run its course. But alongside Laremy Tunsil, C.J. Stroud, Jimmy Ward, Will Anderson Jr., Azeez Al-Shaair, who was added this offseason, and John Weeks, who's their long snapper, Stephon Diggs was voted a captain of the Houston Texans. I just think that's kind of strange after the way we have seen Stephon Diggs act in Minnesota to get out and in Buffalo to get out. But I understand he's going to be a front-facing star for that team. Maybe they had to give him the nod just to give him a little bit more control of the outward conversation about him. But I found it kind of strange that he was voted captain this year for the Texans.
It's a bit strange. It made a little bit more sense after you read off the number of guys who are actually team captains on there. I don't know. Maybe they threw it to him because they were like, hey, man, you're definitely not going to be leading in receptions. It's going to be Nico Collins. So,
well, I don't know. Here's the captain. I've got to be honest. I've been hearing some things out of
Texans. I'm trying
Texans
to manifest
camp.
It. Manifest,
my guy,
manifest.
My guy, DJ Bienname, who covers the Texans for ESPN, NFL Nation, he's been telling me that Stephon Diggs has been the lead receiver through camp.
Nico.
They have Tank as well. And Nico. They have Dalton Schultz.
Nico.
And they have Joe Mixon.
Stop it.
I think they have too many guys. I don't know. But I've heard Stephon Diggs is their lead guy right now. And I would imagine they'll get a little bit more one-on-one coverage because you have to pay attention to everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably been on best behavior, new team, trying to mesh with them. So, I don't know. It makes sense. Veteran.
Okay. Okay, it's just strange if everything goes wrong and he starts going after
CJ. Wasn't it kind of like this when he got to Buffalo for the first time? Like, it was like, oh, he's a completely different guy. Like,
he's trying to fit in. It's like the what do they call that? The, you know, honeymoon phase.
Yeah,
I got the honeymoon phase.
He's love bombing a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't know if this year he's not getting the touches he wants, and he starts complaining, and he's a captain. It's not a good look for the Texans, and that could be, if you give him that type of voice in that locker room, and he starts to have issues like he's had at every stop, then it kind of may become a problem, right? With a young team, impressionable team, maybe tears them apart a little bit more than you would with the Bills and the Vikings, because they were a lot more veteran-laden. I don't know. I found it a little bit strange.
It's a little strange. Real quick, could it have been the Jets that you wanted to talk about? Against Hassan Reddick?
Oh, that's exactly what it was going to be.
The New York Jets.
Because you had the holdout. It was the Jets. Look at you. Green for green. That's exactly what it was supposed to be. But with Trent Williams signing his deal, the big deal from the Jets is Hassan Reddick is the final player in the NFL right now continuing to hold out. And I don't know if he's going to come back this year, because the Jets have said, if you don't come back to camp or if you don't show up to practice, we're not going to pay you. And he has said, I'm not coming back. So,
did you see what Robert Saleh said?
I didn't get to see what Robert Saleh
said. He said it would be like finding change in a couch if he comes back this season.
So he's not coming back.
So I don't know. I think he's a little bit more valuable than change in a couch.
Yeah. I mean, what? The Jets are an embarrassment, man. I mean, you bring in a guy in a trade that was unhappy with his contract situation, and you expected him to play out the rest of that contract with you. I mean, how foolish can you get? But again, it's the Jets. They got fooled into Aaron Rodgers, thinking he's going to be great at age 40. And I guess Hassan Reddick is the latest. And it's just kind of funny, too, like how this all played out is the Eagles got rid of Hassan Reddick because they didn't want to pay him. They take the sack leading sack getter for the Jets, place him on contract to play Hassan Reddick's season for him, Bryce Huff from Memphis. And now the Jets are looking for a defensive end because they didn't want to sign back Bryce Huff and they didn't want to sign Hassan Reddick. Just embarrassing. I mean, you just got to be better than that if you're Joe Douglas, the GM for the New York Jets. Now, I'm going to tell you one more time for you people out there that weren't necessarily listening, and I know there's some people dealing with the DirecTV issues that have definitely been a problem over the weekend with week one of college football. Maybe a problem come Monday night with ESPN and the Disney DirecTV issue. But you've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We have something a little different. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with YouTube TV, a base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and current form of payment. Then you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's GABEK. Again, GABEK to download America's number one sports book. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after your free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem, make sure you reach out to Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Now let's go ahead and wrap up hour two, coming up next with Small Talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, Connor, would you consider our show like Derek Lively fans? Are we Derek Lively fans for the most part?
I would say so.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be the same type of fan after what was said on a podcast. He was with Theo Pinson, and apparently a camper asked Derek Lively II and Theo Pinson, is it true they play whoever makes more money? Theo Pinson said, perfect example, they played Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. There's zero reason Rudy Gobert should have been on that floor. Derek Lively said zero. Theo Pinson said, but you're paying about $40, $50 million a year. You better get your butt out there and figure it the F out. Derek Lively said, and he didn't. Theo Pinson said, and he didn't. And then Derek Lively followed it finally and said he did not. I don't know how much I like a guy like Derek Lively going after Rudy Gobert, having not even come close to replicating what type of career that Rudy Gobert has had. Derek Lively is the same archetype as him, but he's got a long way to go to ever catch up to what Rudy Gobert's ever did in this league. And I think Lively needs to understand saying things like this is not going to endear him.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Him to other people around the NBA necessarily, certainly not to Rudy Gobert, but I think Lively needs to understand, you got to win 4 Defensive Player of the Years. You're going to have to get to 3 All-Star games. You're going to have to get to 3 All-NBA teams. You're going to have to lead the league in block shots multiple occasions, lead the league in field goal percentage 3 times. You're going to have a double-double for 9 consecutive years. Then I think you can speak on Rudy Gobert and the situation he's in. I know Rudy Gobert's not a light guy, but I think he is way too maligned for the type of player he is. And it's always been kind of frustrating for me to sort of follow along with it.
Well, that's why my issue with the statement is that he wasn't on the floor because of how much money he gets paid. He's on the floor because he was a multiple defensive player of the year.
He was the defensive player of the year last year. He was defensive player of the year last year.
Gobert's why he's on the floor. I mean, Gobert's not why they lost that series.
No. No, and I'll say this. Derek Lively, your finals performance? Buddy, you didn't deserve to be on the floor at all.
Got played off the floor.
You got played off the floor on multiple occasions. It's strange to me, the hate. I understand, like, the COVID thing and touching all the mics and why the Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert experience.
Gobert seems annoying as hell.
He's definitely certain. He's annoying.
I get why people dislike him.
I think he gets unfairly criticized for the type of player he is when he's a very useful big in this league. More than useful. All-star caliber big. Defensive player of the year caliber big. It's strange to me how much he gets killed for not just being annoying. They don't like how he plays basketball. They act like he's not a good basketball player when we clearly know that's not the case.
Yeah, I think he's probably just an annoying guy who happens to be a big talking point for people who don't like that style of play. And I think that you and I pretty much both believe that he shouldn't have won Defensive Player of the Year last year, while understanding why he did. Like
you had a guy who probably should have won it.
Wembanyama should have won it, but Rudy Gobert, when people talk about him, he was better in the playoffs than people give him credit for last year. He didn't get played off the floor like he did in previous years necessarily. They didn't lose that series because of him. Would I want Rudy Gobert on my basketball team? No. Is he a very valuable basketball player? Sure. It's just there are a lot of question marks that come with him when you get to playoff time. But Derek Lively, let's do it for more than 1 year before you start going after a guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
And here's the thing. Derek Lively, you can only aspire to be what Rudy Gobert is, to be honest with you. That's what
is Derek Lively a Rudy Gobert archetype?
Kind of 7-foot defensive-type player.
I would say no.
Finishes decent around the rim. That's sort of what he does.
But they play differently.
They play. Derek Lively's a little more athletic, and he can get around the perimeter a little bit better.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they were the same archetype.
They're close. They're very damn close.
I would say Derek Lively's more of a bigger Brandon Clark, and I wouldn't put Brandon Clark in the same category as Rudy Gobert.
I get you. I get what you're saying. Now, DirecTV, we have the DirecTV Disney standoff. They can't reach an agreement, so you can't get ABC or ESPN, especially here in Memphis. I guess there's some ABC stations that are still up because they're not directly owned by Disney in certain cities. But this is just nasty. In the middle of the U.S. Open in tennis, you have the Major League Baseball down the stretch, getting into the playoffs, and then college football on the holiday weekend. Everything went to crap for DirecTV customers. We do have a spokesperson for DirecTV that spoke with Front Office Sports today, though. And honestly, this is kind of wild. They say it's more existential for us. We're not playing for a short-term game. And I kind of get it. I kind of get why they're doing this. It's just sad for the consumer, as it always is when we have these conversations. The consumer comes last, and the money and, the future for all of these TV programmers and all of these cable, providers, they have to look out for themselves first in their pockets. But when you do look at DirecTV and this relationship with Disney, ESPN and Disney, they've started up their own streaming. They're carrying more live sports on all their streaming. That is a direct competition with DirecTV and what DirecTV wants to do going into the future. I understand it. I just hate that the consumer has to lose out. We're heading to Monday Night Football, and it could get ugly by the time we get to Monday Night Football. You're going to have the Jets. You're going to have Aaron Rodgers. You're going to have 49ers playing. And it seems like a lot of DirecTV customers, unless this gets figured out in the next couple of nights, next couple of days, they could be SOL when it comes to watching Monday Night Football coming up.
Man, the consumer just keeps on getting screwed.
I'll say this: I don't necessarily side with either company. But I get DirecTV. I get where they're coming from. They're saying, guys, you have gone out of your way with all of your streaming platforms, and we need to save ourselves in some way, shape, or form. But at the same time, they're not saving themselves by continually going down this path. They need to find an agreement with ESPN, or we'll see what we have seen over the weekend: everybody dropping DirecTV. Them continuing this path of destruction and trying to save themselves long-term may make them short-term completely flop.
I will say, over this weekend, it was the easiest it had been for me to find all of the games in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it was just right. They were all right there. I opened up one app the entire weekend and all of the games.
ESPN app?
No, Hulu.
Hulu app? Okay.
Well, I could have done Disney Plus, Hulu, or ESPN.
Hulu and YouTube TV, I think everybody's starting to
It was super smooth. Every single game that I wanted to watch was right there.
Yep, I hear you. I think I'm going to be
talking. Part of the problem, Gabe.
But I think a DirecTV customer is going to join us coming up next. And I feel bad for him because he loves college football. I did find all the games easily. He probably didn't find them as easily. But we know he's out and about all the time. But Harold Grader is going to join next. We'll talk about college football in general and talk about what's coming up this weekend with Week 2 right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.